It's the WTIL Morning News with Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, and Will Stevenson.
Chris Enroth, he is a horticulture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Morning, Tom. How are you doing today?
Very good. Very good. Well, you know, one of the things Jim had said he had heard that there were some possibilities out there that if you have the emerald ash borer, that there was a possibility of saving your tree. Is that the case, or are there scams out there saying, "Oh yeah, we can save your tree, but once you have it, is it possible to save a tree?"
It's definitely possible to save the tree, but really the only thing that you can do is you have to treat with some type of chemical, whether it's a soil drench or it's a trunk injection. One of the things that our U of I campus entomologist, Phil Nixon, what he recommends is he says, look up at your ash tree. And a lot of people, we don't look in the top portions of the ash tree, that's where EAB starts. It starts in the top parts of your tree. So if you look in the top part of your tree and you see that you have about 20% dieback, that means about 50% of your tree is infested, and it's probably not worth saving at that point. But if your ash tree looks perfectly healthy, it's leafing out right now, the entire crown of the tree, the entire spread of the tree is leafing out, then it's still worth saving.
Mm-hmm. How much expense are we talking for these treatments to save the tree, Chris?
It depends. For the smaller ash trees, the homeowners can do those themselves. And, you know, it varies, but it, depending on the product you use also. But we're, say, around $20 per tree. Now, depending on the product you use, which for a homeowner, that's really only imidacloprid, which around the Galesburg area, we only see, you know, usually is bare tree shrub control. It's a systemic insecticide, so the tree takes it up through the roots, through its vascular system. And so when the emerald ash borer larva, when it munches on your tree, kills it. So that's what we see there, and so that's an annual treatment, though. So it's about $20 a tree every year.
I think that's available over the counter, though.
Yeah, it's over the counter. But there is a thing, though, once we get to ash trees that are a bit older, and we're talking about trees that are about 15 inches in diameter, that's about a 4-foot circumference. After that, the mass of the tree is just too great for a product that's available to the homeowner. So you have to call in a professional for that one.
Okay. But it's still possible then.
Still possible. Yeah. And so the professionals, they'll come in and they'll do a trunk injection with their product, whether it's imidacloprid. Another popular one is also one called a triage. And triage is one that our studies are showing that it is about 2 to 3 years of protection, as opposed to the imidacloprid, which is only about 1 year. So
how often, I mean, with this infestation, it seems like these things kind of come into one area and I guess they move on. If you treat it for 4 or 5 years, is the likelihood or the threat going to diminish then after the initial flight into an area?
It will diminish. So if we look at how we look at where EAB has been, you know, up in Chicagoland, up in Michigan, and if we look at how their population has risen and then fallen, we see in the first 1 to 2 years, it rises very slowly. And after that, the next 3 to 7 years, it shoots up. It goes up dramatically. And I think we're in that 3 to 7 year stage where the population's really going to start ramping up. And so it's very important for those in the Knox County area, if you want to save your ash tree, to treat. But, you know, and everybody asks, well, how long do I have to do this? Well, you know, we say indefinitely for right now, because EAB is not going to go away. The population levels will decline as our ash trees start to die, obviously, but the EAB is going to be with us for the long term. Right now, and depending on who you ask, some people might say 20 years, but right now with Extension, we're saying, it's indefinite because we're not seeing EAB going away anytime soon.
Talking with Chris Enroth, he is a horticulture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. Where did the problem come from? How did it start? How did it start spreading here in the Midwest?
Well, it's actually derived from Asia, and so we all know the Japanese beetle.
We were talking about that earlier. That we thought, well, maybe this one isn't because it didn't have the Asian name like we've heard with some of them.
No, unfortunately, it's another one of those imports that we got, and it we believe it came in on some wood packing material up in the Michigan area, and it's been there since around 2000, we believe 2002. 2006 is when we first noticed it in Illinois, and since then it has just spread, southward. And unfortunately, EAB, if we leave them to their own, their own habits, they don't spread all too quickly. And so the thing that's actually spreading EAB across the state is us. Moving firewood, moving landscape materials from county to county, and on the highways and interstates, and it's actually us that are spreading EAB throughout mm-hmm. the state.
Is this insect, is it something that flies, or how does it go from tree to tree, or is it just us even moving it from tree to tree, or through the root systems, or?
Yeah, how it operates is its life cycle is the adult comes in, and it's an adult beetle, and this beetle is very small. It fits on the head of a penny, and so a lot of people bring in samples of these, giant tiger beetles and stuff that they find, and it's like, oh no, this EAB is very small. So the adult female, she locates an ash tree, and she lays her egg in a crevice in the bark, and then the larva is the thing that actually causes the damage to the tree. Adults feed on leaves, but it's the larva that burrow into the tree, and they feed on that vascular tissue, that tissue that conducts nutrients and water from the roots up to the leaves. And so they feed on that, and if you are able to go all the way around the tree, you can girdle the tree and kill it eventually. So, yeah.
Is the boar actually in Knox County and in Warren County in our immediate area, or are these trees that are being cut down just preventative?
It is in Knox County. It has been confirmed here. You're talking about the trees that are being cut down here downtown. So yes, those were infested with EAB. But as far as Warren County, Henderson County, even Mercer County, they have not been confirmed yet, but they have been put within the quarantine zone. If we're still looking to confirm them in those counties, but we've pretty much said, we're going to put them in the quarantine zone for now. So, and again, the quarantine is mandated by Illinois Department of Ag, and so that it states that you should not be moving firewood or anything like that outside of the zone. And so anywhere south of here, or even in Peoria, they still haven't had it confirmed yet. So we have to try to keep this localized.
Yeah. Have you been surprised at all? Because I know there have been some of the trees cut down just on the assumption that they were going to lose these ash trees. A little surprised. I mean, you're talking about a decent-sized tree. I mean, you go to a nursery and buy it and try and grow one of these in your yard, you're going to spend a lot of money over the course of time on the initial investment there. The more people aren't trying to save the trees, I guess, Chris.
Exactly, and it's just something that folks are weighing in their heads. They're thinking, well, treating this tree for the long term versus the cost of cutting it down. And, I say if it is, a tree that is more, it means something to you, maybe you planted it with your kids or grandkids or something, then maybe it is worth treating. But if this is a tree that, you have no ties to, or, it's... maybe there is a need for it to come down, then that's a possibility. But I will just have to say the person that finds the one lone ash tree surviving amidst a bunch of dead ash trees without being treated is going to be our next lottery winner, because they have the million-dollar tree.
Yeah.
Talking with Chris Enroth, he's a horticulture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. I was going to ask, is the ash tree native to Illinois?
The weather here last night.
Yes, ash is native to the Illinois area. So this is an invasive pest from, from Asia that's coming in and attacking our native species plants. And so, that is one reason why we're so concerned. And, ash tree is native to all across North America. And there's just huge swaths of forest that are made up of ash. And, we're seeing EAB pop up in Kansas City. I believe that's just been confirmed in Denver. And so it's us transporting these materials around, and it's just hopscotching all over the country right now.
Hmm. Is it pretty much the one type of ash tree? I mean, you get out into Colorado, and I mean, they've got millions of beautiful mm-hmm. golden trees out there. Is it just the Midwestern?
Any ash tree, anything really? Within the Fraxinus species. Mm-hmm. So like mountain ash is not actually an ash.
That's what I wanted.
Okay. Yeah, but anything within the Fraxinus ash genus and species, that's what what it targets, yes. But okay. but any ash tree, yeah.
And it's affecting the baseball bat business.
Yeah, exactly, yes. It's hard to find a good baseball bat these days.
Well, the reason I had asked about it being native to Illinois, in talking the last station I had worked at in talking with some master gardeners there, they were talking about, you know, planting trees, and they said that, you know, there's a whole lot of trees that are native to Illinois that people are not planting. That's why I wasn't sure if the ash was native or not, because there's a lot of them that are beautiful trees that you don't hardly see anymore, because that's not what people want to plant. They want this species or that species.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we've received this time and time again. We've seen Dutch elm disease, the American elm, native to North America, wiped out by a disease. And now we have our ash tree. There's actually, you know, people after they are planting, they tear down their ash tree and then they plant maples. Well, there's actually a pest that has been found in Chicago, the Asian longhorn beetle, that has the potential to wipe out all of North America's maple trees. So we just ask that when you replant, it's always a great idea to use native trees, but diversify your canopy. So go for something a little bit different. Go beyond the maple tree. Go beyond, you know, the typical oak that you might find, and mix it up a bit.
I have a willow tree, and it's pretty, but if you want to put in about 30 extra hours of work every year, plant one of those and pick up after every time before you mow. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
What
a
mess.
Yep. And we do have lists at the Extension Office of trees that are recommended, and depending on the situation, whether you're in downtown Galesburg or you're out in rural Knox County.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody's got an ash tree, what are the signs to look for initially?
Again, you want to make sure that you look into the crown and see if you see any dieback in the top portions of the tree. Also, once the EAB starts to take hold on the tree, the ash trees are fairly resilient. They're fighters. And so they will start sending up these water sprouts or these epicormic shoots from the trunks. And you'll start seeing these just kind of ratty, tattered kind of appearance, but these stems coming out of the trunks and from the base of the tree. And that's just the ash tree trying to make it along, limp along. You know, the vascular tissue has been cut off from the top part of the tree, so it's trying to send up more shoots, more leaves to photosynthesize to feed itself. So look for crown dieback, look for those epicormic shoots or those water sprouts. Also look for any cracking in the tree. Woodpeckers actually really do like to eat EAB larvae, so look for more woodpecker damage on trees. And also the telltale sign of EAB is the D-shaped exit hole that the adult, once the larva emerges as an adult, it leaves this D-shaped exit hole. It's very small, only about, you know, 1/8 of an inch in diameter, but it's in the shape of a capital D, very distinctive. It's a telltale sign of EAB. So look for that around, you know, the trunk of the tree.
We had heard some saying that the very bitterly cold temperatures that we had this winter might be able to kill off some of these emerald ash borers. Did it happen here? Or
I don't think it happened here. That's one of the things that I need to follow up with our campus entomologist. But based on what I know about insects is that they are adapted. They produce this natural antifreeze within their bodies, and they're adapted to very harsh cold conditions, and so I don't think it slowed them down. It may be just a little, but I don't think it really stopped their progression.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. If we could at least have some good that came out of this cold winter, we could knock those out. But no such luck, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately not. But you know, this year, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll see what the emergence is like this year. Yeah.
So the problem then is more the larvae and being actually in the vascular system of the tree, not the adults that are eating the leaves.
Exactly, yes. And most of the insecticide, it targets the larva. You know, some people might knock on your door and say, hey, we want to spray your tree for EAB, and we really don't recommend that because it doesn't do much. A lot of it drifts over to, you know, your willows or your, you know, your maples or something like that.
Yeah, so just treating the roots is probably the best
approach. Yes, some type of systemic insecticide is the best approach.
And I know some people don't like to do that. Is doing that, treating the root system, is there any effect on anything else around, any other plant life around?
No, so long as, you know, you want to make sure that you stay away from any plants that are pollinated by bees. And luckily, ash trees, they are wind pollinated. And there's been a study that shows that imichloroprid might play a role in the colony collapse disorder with bees. But luckily, treating our ash trees with imichloroprid, it doesn't affect them because ash are wind pollinated and bees aren't. they're not frequenting the ash flowers. So, you know, so that's perfectly safe to do. Also, when you are using, for homeowners, when you're using the product, you want to make sure that you don't apply it to lawn or to mulch, because the chemical actually binds to organic material. You want to make sure that you pour that onto bare soil. And again, always make sure that you read the label directions on any chemicals or any products you purchase. Those are federal law. They're written by the EPA. And so you have to make sure that you follow those to the letter.
All right.
I guess I was wondering if you don't want it on the lawn, though, but if your tree roots are all underneath the grass, how do you do that?
Depending on which product you buy, they will have specific directions on where to apply it. Typically, we see it in a range anywhere from 2 to 4 feet out from the base of the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if it's mulched or if you have any leaves or anything, make sure pull that back. If there's lawn there, take a sharp shovel or spade. Just cut that lawn away, just lift it back, apply the product, and then lay the turf back down, give it a good watering so it can reestablish itself.
Okay.
All right. Chris, thank you so much. Great information this morning. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much. And again, if anybody has questions, feel free to contact the U of I Extension office here in Galesburg.
And the number?
309-342-5108.
All right. Chris Enroth, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
News, information, and great conversation every weekday morning. The WGIL Morning News on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.